It's time to chat Wayne's 4x2, four reviews, 2 minutes each. Wayne, how are you going this morning?
I'm good, Steph. I guess like most of us in Sydney are just trying to stay dry and hopefully, safe, I guess, the big word. I hope this clears up soon.
Yeah, I mean, if the worst we've got to worry about is not being able to dry our washing and those sorts of things, then I think we're doing okay. I just did some traffic before, and the traffic went for longer than it's ever gone since I've been here at 2SER because it's just closed roads all over Sydney due to flooding and stuff. So, you know, I get to be in this dry studio and you get to watch some movies occasionally and things like that too. So I think we're going all right.
No, definitely. It's, I'm all safe at work and at home. So hopefully people out there that are doing a lot tougher, get some respite soon.
Hopefully. All right. Well, look, for those of us who do have the opportunity to stay dry and watch some movies and watch some TV and stuff, let's get started for the 4x2 this morning. What's first up?
Okay, no worries. And I thought, as it's all a little bit depressing at the moment, it's good to start with something that will actually hopefully make you laugh. And that's the newest season of The Righteous Gemstones. It just wrapped up actually this week, the HBO comedy, the second season, 9 episodes in both season, half-hour episodes. And this is all about a televangelist family down in South Carolina that headed by Eli Gemstone, played by the great John Goodman. And he's widowed, but he has 3 children, Jesse, Judy and Kelvin. And the goings-on are hilarious, to say the least, quite ludicrous in parts. It's very, very over-the-top and out there, but very, very funny. It sort of, I guess, deals a bit with a lot of the hypocrisies of these evangelist churches. They have their own TV show. They have mass audiences and all that sort of thing. But a lot of the show is really about the family dynamics, the 3 children who are all very bratty, very spoiled, very tempestuous, and I guess trying to, Eli, the head of the family, trying to keep them under control. The second season sort of goes further into some other stories. There's a lot of backstories on the, especially on Eli as he was growing up. There's sort of a Dixie Mafia comes into play for Memphis. There's also a rival church in Texas that looks to be a partnership but doesn't turn out quite like you'd expect. So this is just really, really funny, out there comedy created by Danny McBride, who plays Jesse, one of the sons. As I said, John Goodman is in it. Also Adam Devine and Edie Patterson are the other children. It's just a really, really fun show. Probably not to be taken too seriously, but it's, I really enjoyed it. So if you're looking for something that hopefully might make you laugh right now, then Righteous Gemstones. And as I said, it's a HBO show, so it's out here on Binge or Foxtel.
I mean, I've not caught this one, but I'm just sort of taking a look at a few things now, and just the aesthetic, the premise, and anything with sort of created by Danny McBride and such a great cast as well of actors that have a history in comedy, should make for something awesome. I've not caught it yet, but it sounds great.
Yeah, no, definitely, and he's obviously with stuff like Vice Principals and all the other shows he's made, and he's got some really great creative people on here. And so as I said, it's very ludicrous at times, quite out there, but definitely funny and definitely one to watch, I think.
Okay, great. Righteous Gemstones, available on Binge and Foxtel. All right, what's number 2 this morning, Wayne?
Okay, well, a film I saw opened last week, and this is definitely not a lighthearted adventure, but a really wonderful film. It's called Hive. It's an Albanian, Kosovan sort of production and drama, and it's all based on the true story and quite remarkable story of a woman called Farij. So this is all set in Kosovo. It's set a little bit after the Kosovan War around 98-99, and it starts off with Farij systematically going to areas where they've showing bodies that have been found after the war, and her husband has gone missing in the war, and but she hasn't found his body. And in the small village she lives in, it's basically widowed or separated women and their children and older men. So a lot of the men that were in the village have either died during the war or disappeared. And a lot of the it's sort of a struggle to survive. And it really shines a light not just on the tragedy of war, which is obvious and obviously high in the minds at the moment in the Ukraine, clearly, but also really shines a light on the, I guess, very, very patriarchal way these places are set up. So she ran, the film's name Hive comes from the fact that she and her husband did run a bee honey making production, and she's trying to like basically survive. And a lot of the women in the village can't drive. They're frowned upon to work, but it's like, well, my husband is either dead or missing and I need money to survive. And it's quite actually disgraceful the way the women are treated, that they're just trying to survive and go forward. And then she actually gets them all together and they create a business making, I'll just have a look at this. It's called Ajvar. Which I hadn't heard of, but apparently...
Yeah, I know what that is. I've got a Serbian background, and it's pronounced Ivar, actually.
Ivar, okay. Yeah. I wasn't sure. Yeah, I think I just pronounced it how it looked, so that's good to know. But yeah, I learned a lot about it, and apparently it's mainly made from peppers and eggplant, and it's a really great condiment that's very popular in that Balkan area. So basically all the women get together, despite the pressure in the village, which is put upon them, to create, making it, and they all get together. So it's a really great story about not just her surviving the tragedy of war, she's got two teenage children, but all the women trying to survive. So it's a wonderful story of personal perseverance through tragedy. And it's a really great film. No pretense in it at all, no artifice. Just very, very real, very authentic. And that's called Hive.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. I mean, there's so many things that you just touched on there in your explanation, Wayne, that are so poignant right now. I think that, you know, reflecting on what war can do to a populace and to a place, you know, and then also, I guess, you know, let's not forget about what's going on in Afghanistan at the moment and all the uncertainty women face in Afghanistan as well. We sort of find ourselves in these times where there's so much for people like you and I to be grateful for, and watching films like these and taking some time to reflect and stuff, I think is really important. And I've been doing a bit of that, and I think people can probably do a bit of that through this movie as well.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I learned a lot about not just the making of this great condiment, but just basically her story. And it's more than just like surviving war; it's actually surviving a system where basically the women are, you know, treated as just wives, and that's their entire role. And here's someone coming through through I'm just going to do it. So it's very inspiring, really. So I love this film. It's not widely shown. I saw it up at the Dendy, so it's probably only in a few select cinemas, but if you can catch it, definitely worth seeing.
Yeah, interesting. I'm definitely going to check that one out. I think I've got some family members who'd be keen to check that out as well.
Okay.
And if you want to tip Wayne, if you're ever at sort of one of those European delis or European grocers, you can find Ivar on the shelf. It's probably next to the gherkins and the sauerkraut.
Okay, I'll definitely check it out.
Yeah.
So definitely. And also, I should just quickly mention Blerta Bisholi, the woman who made this. She wrote and directed. It's actually her debut film. So.
Yeah.
Great, huge credit to her for making this film.
Okay, fantastic. Hive. Yeah, I'm going to put that on my list for sure and put it in the family chat, because I think I've got some aunties that would be interested in that one.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Wayne, let's move on to number three. What's number three for the 4x2 this morning?
Okay, well, I've got another one that I think, just changing tack again, let's go for real heartwarming stuff that's just going to like take your mind off floods and COVID and Ukraine, and that's Mustard Dogs. This is a four-part series currently showing on ABC. You can get on iView.
I've heard of this one.
I just love this. I just love it. I mean, I love dogs. We've got two dogs. I could watch anything that's got dogs in it.
Dog so people.
So it just had me at, well, I love all animals are great, and dogs are the best. So this is really wonderful. So it's about five Kelpie puppies that are bred in Victoria, and it's like they're going on a quest to become mustard dogs. And they spread, the five puppies spread far and wide across Australia, going to like cattle and sheep properties, where the people who run these have muster dogs. It's part of their life. And they've trained dogs, so their goal is to train these puppies. And they normally take 2 to 3 years to get them really into great muster dogs, but they've got like a year to get it done. And they keep the show visits them every few months, gives them tasks to accomplish and see how they're going. So it's really, really great. The dogs are so wonderful. I mean, incredible intelligence. How are they just from puppies just born into them to herd sheep? And I think also, like, I'm born in the city. I've lived in the city all my life, and it's really great. You know, I'm not familiar with this thing, but you've got these huge properties in WA and Queensland and Northern Territory, and seeing how other people live, which is totally foreign to my way of life. So even that's great. And just to see the connection between the people running these huge properties and also their animals. And there's also a bit of commentary there about the fact that over time, you know, they've brought in things like helicopters even to herd cattle and things like that. Mm. And it's sort of basically saying, no, it's the best way to go and the natural way is dogs. They're born for it. It's good for the, you know, I couldn't imagine if I was a cow or being herded by a helicopter. So a dog would seem a much nicer alternative. So, yeah, if you love dogs and you want something heartwarming, some beautiful scenery and true stories about seeing how people live on the land, muster dogs, I recommend.
Yeah, sounds good, Wayne. Definitely a bit of reprieve. It sells itself when you watch the ad. If you're a dog person to any extent whatsoever, I saw an ad for it on the ABC. Yeah. And I've got a friend who's the biggest dog person I've ever met. Yeah. She literally can't talk when she sees a dog. And I text her, I said, have you heard about this? Really?
Yeah.
I said, you've heard about this Mustard Dogs show on ABC? She's like, I'm all over it. Who do you think you're talking to? I've already got it lined up when it's coming out of set reminders. And so, yeah, it looks interesting. But the other thing... I actually, in a bit of work that I've done in the past, I've visited a couple of sheep farms, and it's just fascinating the relationship that these farmers have with their dogs that's so different to the one that we do in sort of a domestic setting, where they're a tool of the farm and they're not animals that sort of come inside and sit by the fire and you use as a bit of a stress reliever and, you know, that sort of thing. They sleep outside. They're working dogs. They're born to
jumping in mud, jumping
on the back of trucks, and it's such an amazing dynamic.
It is, but there's a huge connection. It's just a different sort of connection where these people love their dogs and everything, but they just treat it like they're working dogs, and that's what they are, and they're not pets, but there's still a huge bond and a connection. And the very first task they have to do is in this series is show they can create a bond. That's the very first thing. So, which obviously you need when you're working, you need the dog not just to listen to you, but you know, want to be with you. But it's a different sort of connection overall.
All right. Well, I'm interested to check this one out now. I mean, I've got so many things on my list of stuff to watch, but we need our reprieve at times, especially at a time like now. So I think Mustard Dogs is the one for me, for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, Wayne, what's final? What's number four for the 4x2 this morning?
Okay, well, my final one is an album that came out last week. I hadn't really heard of the band until, you know, literally a week ago, really. But it's blown me away. It's getting great reviews. And that's the debut album from a London band called Caroline. And this is a self-titled album. And it's quite a unique, wonderful record. Caroline started out as about 5 years ago. So it's been quite a few years in the making. They were just a two-piece with the main person leading, Casper Hughes, who's the vocalist. But it's expanded over time. Now they count 8 in their members. And if you sort of like a little bit of post-rock, a little bit of 33, a little bit emo in sort of parts with some of the vocals, it's an album of huge variety. It's very sprawling. It's very pensive at times. It's also got some beautiful pastoral elegance. There's a lot of violin on the album. There's not a huge amount of vocals, but it drifts in and out at times. I think that'd be dynamic live just with seeing how all the instruments come together. So I was really, really impressed by this album. As I said, it's probably not sort of, generally speaking, they're not making radio pop hits. Most of the songs are reasonably long, but it's just so beautiful. It's dissonant at times and then incredibly elegant and peaceful at other times. So really, really enjoying a debut album from a band called Caroline.
Okay, fantastic. And a self-titled album. Now, you've got a song for us this morning. This one's called Good Morning Red. Tell us a bit about this track.
Yeah, well, apparently I was reading about it, and this was actually written about 5 years ago during the British election. And the band, or especially Casper, were quite big supporters of Corbyn. They were quite hopeful that he might win. So the even though there's only a small amount of lyrics in this, they do reflect his hope, I guess, for a red win in Britain, which didn't occur. But that's what sort of a part. And this, if you listen to this, it's a very slow, like most of their songs, they start quite slowly. And the first few minutes is basically just violin and a few vocals thrown in. So you just get this really mournful, beautiful violin. And it's sort of a song in two parts. So the second half, it sort of just breaks down into a very, very slow, with barely not much happening at all, except like a bit of a drum hit, a little bit of bass. And it sort of just sort of slowly disintegrates. So, yeah, it's about 6 minutes long, but it's a beautiful song. And one I've been playing a lot this week.
Fantastic. Well, let's get straight into it. This one is Good Morning Red by Caroline off their self-titled debut album. Wayne, thank you so much. Another fantastic 4x2. Hope you enjoy the rest of your week. See some movies, thanks. See some TV, and get out of the rain.
Yeah, thanks, Steph.
All right, thanks, Rain.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.